It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Everybody dreams of that, right? The go-ahead grand slam to win a big game. What was the trip around the bases like, and how much do you remember?
I don't remember. I kind of blacked out. I just remember screaming. That's why I already lost my voice. But, you know, we talked about being energetic and matching the energy of the other side today and the fans. And, you know, I'm not a huge screamer or rah-rah guy, but tonight I was, and it was fun just, you know, sharing that with these guys and competing against, you know, that team over there. They're really good, and it was just a great atmosphere.
Back to the guest line we go, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Chris Ronji on Hit and Run, final hour of the show today. In for Matt Spiegel, be back next week. And we are joined by one of the voices you just heard. That was Mike Farron on MLB Network Radio, talking with the hero from last night, Trey Turner. The Grand Slam put the U.S. ahead in the World Baseball Classic. They advanced to play Cuba in the semifinal. We are joined by Mike Farron from MLB Network Radio right now on The Score. What's going on, Mike?
Ranger, how are you, buddy?
I'm feeling great today. I was told by Kylie McDaniel to say something mean about your facial hair, so do better.
That's all you got?
Yeah, I don't know. I can't say anything mean to you.
Well, I know. But the thing is that like anything that involves hair with Kylie is, like, really, we probably should be taken with a grain of salt, because it takes him so long to get that toupee on every day that it's amazing that he actually makes it onto TV.
Yeah, he's a little young for a toupee, really.
Yeah, well, you would think. I mean, you would think that he would have the grace to do it naturally, but instead he's got this horrible coif.
All right, Farron, let's talk about this game last night. I've been talking about how I am a World Baseball Classic convert. I used to look at it like it was just getting in the way of my teams getting ready for baseball for the regular season. But this is a thing that clearly all of the players involved really care about. And my feeling is, if they care, how in the hell can I not?
I think that's absolutely a fair read. And I think I think at times, you know, the U.S. team gets viewed as being a little bit more stoic, or the feeling I heard from people, it's like, these guys don't really care about this, or this staff doesn't really care about it. And I think when you saw the reaction after Turner's Grand Slam last night, you know that they care deeply. They're not quite as outwardly demonstrative as some of the other countries are. Which is kind of like a bummer, I think, because I think that energy would be great. Would be, you know, fans would feed off that, give that back to the players. But I think what you see is that they absolutely care about it. You know, when you hear Mike Trout at the end of pool play say, "This is the most fun I've ever had playing baseball," that he was jealous. When he turned it down in 2017, it was kind of a seminal moment for him. And then he watched that World Baseball Classic and went, "Man, I'm sorry that I did this." You know, Paul Goldschmidt, who is not the most verbose star in the game, right, has been very vocal about how incredible it was. We talked to Goldie post-game last night, too, and I've known Paul for a long time, and he said unequivocally, "That was the most fun I've ever had playing a baseball game." You know, how can you not? I don't know. I guess I understand if you care about the team more than this event, your favorite team more, that's fine. I don't begrudge you that. But watching the passion with which players are playing, watching the intensity, watching the emotions of it, like, this absolutely beats any spring training game. And, you know, it matters. It counts. And it count, you know, while it may not count in Major League Baseball standings, it counts for these players that are involved. It's been a tremendous event. And watching it grow over the last 17 years has been a lot of fun, and I'm excited to see where it is 17 years from now.
Is it a valid criticism to say, well, look what happened to Edwin Diaz, look at Jose Altuve, those things happened because they participated in this?
I mean, you know, Gavin Lux blew out his ACL in a spring training game for the Dodgers. Cade Cavalli needs Tommy John surgery pitching in a spring training game for the Nationals. You know, I think you can make that argument about anything, that in games that don't count. You know, those are in games that players aren't being paid for, right? Players don't get paid during spring training. And Gavin Lux and Cade Cavalli had their careers altered to some degree because of injuries in those games. So, I mean, I guess you can say that that's a problem. If that's why you don't like it, fine. But I think to say that it's meaningless is foolish, at least compared to exhibitions that are designed just to get your work in, to get the season down going.
I had a texter earlier made a great point about how this is, it may not be ideal, the timing for getting ready for the MLB season, but this is very definitely a great thing for the game of baseball itself. Yeah. That the marketing, that what it does, the excitement around the world, and that includes the United States, is palpable. How much of a benefit for the sport of baseball that is trying to gain, attract people, and then keep their attention, how big of a deal is the event?
Yeah, I mean, I would say less about trying to get people's attention and more about how you grow the game in markets that may not be baseball hotbeds. You know, I think, I did Pool C, which Great Britain was in, and spent a lot of time with Drew Spencer, who's their manager. You know, Spencer, is his full-time job is as a marketing executive, right? Like, he works for a big Adam and Eve DDB in London, right? He's not a full-time coach. There are no full-time coaches in the British Baseball Federation. And so all of that attention, the money, the fact that you got kids dressing up as Harry Ford after their win against Columbia in classrooms, like, that to me is really important if you want to see this game become global. And I think that's part of it. You know, there's always going to be huge swaths of the population in Japan, Korea, Venezuela, Mexico, Puerto Rico, the Dominican Republic, that are huge baseball fans because baseball is probably king in all those countries except for Mexico. But in growing it, in getting more exposure for it in Europe, in getting more exposure for it in countries that are developing baseball programs like Colombia, I mean, I think that's really critical. And I do think it's cool that, you know, there are some rules here with, in terms of qualifying for the next WBC. When they expanded the field to 20, they did qualifying tournaments, right, for the last team to be able to get in. Three of the four teams that had to win qualifiers to get in have advanced, have automatically qualified for the next WBC. So Great Britain, the Czech Republic, and Panama are all going to be in. It was other teams like Chinese Taipei, which is, you know, Taiwan has had a long history of strong baseball. Colombia, you know, they're teams that have to end up qualifying as a result of where they finished in pool play. And so I think that helps to breed excitement, and it helps to breed funding too, for those programs to be able to continue to develop baseball internationally.
Mike Farron, MLB Network Radio, visiting with us on Hit and Run on the Score right now. They're not using these new rules for the World Baseball Classic, the pitch clock, all that stuff. That's not being done here, but it is being done during spring training games. Do you see players settling in and adapting quickly to these new rules and new changes?
I mean, I think it's a little bit of a disadvantage for those players who decided to play in the WBC because they don't have those 10 days or 11 days that they're gone to be able to continue to work through them. But I think you're seeing adjustments in spring training for sure. I mean, I think you're seeing a reduction in the number of pitch clock violations week to week, much like what we saw in the minor leagues when this more aggressive pitch clock came in May of last year. So, I think it's an adjustment. I think it's a little different in this event. I understand why they didn't include it in this. We have to get International Baseball Federation on board, but also it's just all of a sudden you're trying to rush guys in a competition, whereas when we get to the postseason this year, they will have been doing it for a full year, and it'll be a little bit different. I think there's a lot to be said for the benefits that are going to come from the pitch timer, and I think the preliminary rounds at least have been a pretty good advertisement for what could come with the pitch timer in terms of speeding up the pace of the action. But I think I understand why both sides, both the player association and the league, were kind of like, yeah, that's cool. Let's leave these changes out of this event because we want to try and make sure the players are focused solely on what's going on in the field as opposed to making adjustments in meaningless exhibition games.
Mike Farron, I appreciate your time. I think your beard looks great, and I won't have anybody say otherwise. So,
you've always had my back, Ranger.
Yeah, always, man. I'll never not. Are you on the call again tonight?
Yep. And it'll be very interesting because it's Cuba, and it's the first time since the communist takeover in 1959. It's believed to be the first time that the Cuban national team has played in Miami, and there are already protests outside the ballpark. It's going to be a charged atmosphere.
Wow. All right. Mike Farron, enjoy it tonight. Thank you for your time.
Thanks.
That is Mike Farron, MLB Network Radio, again on the call tonight, U.S. versus Cuba, the semifinal of the World Baseball Classic, getting started at 6 o'clock tonight. I'm Chris Ranji. When we come back, we expect to talk to Eric Hosmer.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rep pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For Cubs first baseman, that'll be next on The Score.
We're back with more Hit and Run with host Chris Ranji on The Score.
I give a lot of credit to the front office. I mean, not only they got, a ton of talent, but these guys are incredible in the clubhouse. I mean, you can just feel, the energy inside the clubhouse and just, guys are joking around on a daily basis. No matter if you're an older guy, a younger guy, I mean, there's just great vibes going around camp. And, I've really enjoyed getting to know, Hosmers, Barnhart, Mancini, all those guys. I mean, because they've played in some, the biggest games and on the biggest stage, and they have a lot of knowledge and, super, super humble guys. And just, it's going to make for, a fun year. And I feel like, if you have those clubhouse, friendships, it really does translate on the field. So, I'm looking forward to, playing with those guys.
Cubs infielder Nick Madrigal on The Score. I am Chris Ranji. This is Hit and Run until noon today. Back to the guest line we go, brought to you by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. We are joined this morning by Cubs newcomer signed as a free agent. First baseman Eric Hosmer is with us this morning on The Score. How you doing, Eric? Thank you for your time.
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me. And I'm also a huge fan of Circa and Derek and everybody over there. That was a good promo there.
Yeah, you know what? I have not had a chance to go, but that place looks awesome.
It's incredible. And Derek and Richard and all those guys out there, they'll show us the way. They'll lead you out there. So you guys got to make a trip. It's awesome.
But yeah, I fully expect to get out there. And I want the suite. I want it all. I want the whole thing, man.
After this, you should definitely demand it all. We're good to go.
I know, right? Like, I think we just gave him even more plugs here. This is great.
Yeah.
You know, you were just you're just hearing from Nick Madrigal there, and obviously it's important to have a good clubhouse environment. And you've only been with this organization for a couple of months now, and spring training's only been going on for a month or so. How have you settled in?
Settled in great, getting to know the building, just getting to see how the flow goes and how it just operates on a day-to-day basis, and just love being a part of it, especially with Rossi leading the way. He knows the formula from the championship team back in 2016, so we're following his lead. We're getting work done, but we're enjoying ourselves at the same time. We're about to take on a long season, 162 games. There's going to be a lot of ups and downs that come with it, but we want to take this battle on together, and the guys are meshing well out here and getting good work in as well.
You're going to play against your former team today, the 2:55 our time. We've got the broadcast, Cubs and Padres. I know it's only spring training, but it must be nice to get to see your teammates. It's not a game that counts to the standings, but this must be good for you to at least see some of them.
Yeah, definitely. Like we said, you take on this 162 games, you're with each other day in and day out, spring training before and after. So a lot of close relationships over there. I really enjoyed playing with those guys. I enjoyed playing for Bob and his staff over there. So that's the cool thing about spring training, especially in Arizona. Everything's super close out here to each other, and it's like a big reunion this month. You go around town, whether it's to eat dinner or playing some of the games, and you're always seeing somebody you played with before or played against and are familiar with. So it's always fun being out here during this time of year.
Eric Hosmer, Cubs first baseman, is with us on The Score this morning. We were talking a lot about the World Baseball Classic, and I know you've got your own work to do, but I'm sure you saw what happened last night and how incredible that atmosphere was. As a player, what are your thoughts on the World Baseball Classic?
Oh, it's an unbelievable experience. And, last night watching that game just kind of took me back to the moments that I got to share with some of the guys in my years in the WBC. And, you can feel the electricity through the TV. The atmosphere in Miami looked incredible. Right when Trey hit that grand slam, you can just, goosebumps go through your body because it's such a big moment in the game. And, it's different. It's a different tournament. It's a different style of play. Pool play, certain games you got to worry about the run differential, and it's cool because it's a different group of guys you get to play with, guys you've admired, and it's different getting to see guys you've played against and respect their game from across, but then to see their day-to-day process, see their day-to-day way they routine at how they handle the game and how they prepare. It just gives you a whole different appreciation for guys. And Stroman was one of those guys I've always admired playing against him. We had some of those years in the playoffs, and then getting to see him pitch two of the biggest games in that tournament and just seeing how he went about it on a day-to-day basis and how he handled the moment was, man, it made me one of, the favorite guys I played with just because of what he brought to the table there for his team.
You went back for the first time in 2013, correct?
Yeah, so I went in 2013. Mark Teixeira actually injured his finger. I think he broke his finger or his wrist out here, so they called me over about midway to fill in for him.
So, and you played at least in a couple. What is it? How much different do you think it is now that this event has been going on for 15 or so years and has really kind of established itself?
Yeah, the format of it is you got to go now. I think the mentality in baseball over the course of 162 games is kind of stick with the process and trust that, whatever you're doing is going to work over 162 games over that 8-month period. But I mean, when you go, you get thrown right into an atmosphere of 40,000 people, and you know, you can't lose. You lose one or two of those games in pool play, and there's a good chance you don't advance to the next round. So that's what's cool about it. You know, you find ways, if the bats don't get off to a hot start, you find ways to produce runs, and you get to do that with some of the best players that, you know, you grew up either idolizing or grew up playing against. And, you know, that first year I was on there, there was Joe Mauer, David Wright, guys that I've really grew up watching and idolized for a long time. So that was a lot of fun for me.
As far as getting ready for a regular season, is it a benefit to play in that tournament, or is it about the same?
You know, speaking from an offensive standpoint, I definitely think it is. You get thrown into big situations. You get some really, really big at-bats that there's a lot of there's a big moment on the line, something like that. So that kind of helps you lock in, get ready for opening day, get ready for that, you know, big league atmosphere and all that. As a pitcher, it's difficult because, you know, those guys got to get ramped up, and whether or not they're coming off a long season after a postseason run or something like that. But as a position player, I certainly think it helps you get ready for the season.
Talking with Eric Hosmer here on Hit and Run, Cubs first baseman, newcomer here. What exactly, you know, with the DH now, it's part of the mix, and you know, that's a thing that a lot of players are getting to do. There's a lot of rotation in terms of where guys play. One day you're in the field, one day you're the DH. I mean, you've been the DH a handful of times in your career as well. What sort of role do you expect this year in the amount of times you might find yourself at first versus DH?
Yeah, just whatever the club needs of me, whatever Rossi and the staff need, and whatever we need to help this team win. You know, I think that is the good thing about having the DH in both leagues now. It gives you the ability to have a lot of depth going in your team and your roster. And there's certain stuff that's thrown at teams throughout the year, whether it's, you know, guys getting hurt, guys missing time, something like that. So, you know, there's going to be different roles needed at different times from all of us. But I think that's what's good about our team, is we have a lot of guys that are familiar with a lot of different roles, a lot of guys that know what they need to do to help this team win, and kind of know what their role is in this team. So it's fun when you got everybody buying in, everybody knowing what their role is, and everyone with one common goal, and that's to win. So, you know, we're all ready to take this battle on together. We know it's going to be a hard one. We know it's going to be ups and downs, but, you know, we're certainly ready to take it on together.
Eric, you played in Boston, which for me, when I went, I mean, gosh, it was probably 10 years ago, I think, I went to a game at Fenway Park, and it was the most electric a regular season game I've ever been to. It's just people were into it from start to finish, and this was like early September. Wrigley Field can be like that too a lot, where there's just a buzz the entire time, and you've played in all the ballparks. Where does Wrigley Field stand for you in terms of atmosphere?
It's great. You know, the way I've explained it to my friends and my buddies back home is it feels like it's the state championship every single game there. You know, when you're young in high school, and that's your common goal, to win that state championship, and there's just a different atmosphere about it that you get to feel and experience if you're fortunate enough to make that. And it was a kind of similar feel at Wrigley. You know, there's so much tradition there, and you know, anytime you're going, you know it's going to be a packed house. You know the atmosphere is going to be great. And the common theme around the league, I remember when I was young, was to always get out there and batting practice, because from batting practice on, I mean, the atmosphere there is second to none. So I'm certainly can't wait to call it home. You know, I was out in San Diego for a couple of years, so I'm going to have to get used to this weather for the first month or month and a half. But, you know, we'll get through that. We've done that before. And then the summertime will come, and, you know, there's going to be no better place to be on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, so I grew up in St. Louis, and it is humid as hell in St. Louis. And I know Florida's even worse. Like, that humidity is, dude, it is the worst humidity I've ever, when I was in Tampa, worst I've ever experienced in my entire life. Is it difficult to adjust to that, to grow up in a humid environment and then go play in Chicago where it's cool most of the year?
Yeah, it is an adjustment. You know, I think it's something you get used to, though. You know, even being out here in Arizona for the desert, or in the desert for a month or so, it's a little bit of an adjustment on your body. It's a little bit of adjustment just kind of all around, you know. But, you know, it's part of it. It's something that, you know, we're going to get used to. And You know, if we plan on playing in October, I know it gets a little chillier in October as well. So, you know, we got to get used to that early. And, you know, hopefully we can get to the point where we somehow find a way to get through and get used to it, and we can use it as a home field advantage at some point.
Well, what are you looking forward to most when the season gets started?
Just like we just talked about, you know, being able to play at Wrigley every single day, being able to just play for the Chicago Cubs organization. You know, I know every time I've played against the Cubs, whether it's at home or on the road, they always have a huge following. And, you know, it's some of the best fans all throughout sports. And, you know, mixing with these guys here, mixing with Rossi and his staff, it seems like a really fun group. So just ready to get another year started. And it's a fun situation for us to be in because, you know, besides our fans, there's not a lot of people expecting a lot out of us. And I think we expect a lot. So we feel like we can sneak up on people, and we're going to be right where we need to be at the end of the year. So we're ready to get this thing going.
Yeah, you know, we talked about this earlier. I mentioned the Padres game today, and it's a former team. And I, when we are looking at it from the outside as fans, we project how we feel, and we think, oh, he's going to be extra motivated to play against the Padres and, you know, against the former team. And San Diego is a good team. You know, they're favored. I mean, they're really, really good. When you play those games, the regular season games, when the season gets started, are those games, or would they be, you think, feel more important to you, or do you feel extra motivation when you play against the former club?
Yeah, I think there is a little bit more, you know. I think you want to do well. You want to do well, obviously, against anybody you play, but, you know, it's a different feeling. It's kind of, you know, there's certain times where you face a buddy from back home, or you face a guy that, you know, you went to high school with or something like that, and you certainly want to get a little bit of bragging rights over them and just to mess with them about it. But there'll definitely be some a little more going on there. You know, there's a lot of guys over there that I've had a lot of good times with. And, you know, whether it was on the card table or doing something fun, we would always have fun little competitions between each other. So to be able to compete against them on a major league stage and to do it at Wrigley or in Petco is going to be fun. And that's something I'm definitely looking forward to.
Eric Hosmer, I appreciate your time. I also appreciate you agreeing to bankroll me at Circa when I finally get a chance to go out there sometime soon. It was really, really nice of you. You didn't have to.
If you got the connection for the suite, then I'm with it, man. Let's go. We got a deal.
I'm in, dude. Let's do it. Eric Hosmer, thank you, man.
That sounds good. Appreciate you guys.
Appreciate you. That is Cubs first baseman Eric Hosmer with us here on The Score. Yeah, I just, look, I don't need a huge bankroll. Like, you know, let me go in with like 25 G's. That's it. That's not much. 25,000? We could make a day of that. It'll all be gone in an hour, but we can make a day of it anyway, I think. Do appreciate Eric Hosmer being with us here on The Score. When we come back, I want to say something about a guy that I miss him already, and we'll talk about that when we come back. And if you want to chime in, you can as well. 312-644-6767 is the phone number to call or to text us. Would love to hear from you before we say goodbye today. I'm Chris Ranji. This is Hit and Run. I'm in for Matt Spiegel on The Score.
We're back with more Hit and Run with host Chris Ranji on The Score.
Good lead at second. The pitch. Swing and a looper in the right field. That's going to get through for a base hit. Kiermaier, late break. Gets to third. He's being waved home. Throw to the plate. Too late. Into second base goes the Rosarena. The Rays have come all the way back and have tied this game at five. Now the pitch. Swing and a fly ball to the gap in right center. Kiermaier coming over. He's going to make the catch. Verdugo's going to tag. Here comes the throw to third. He is out at third base. They got him. They got him. What a throw by Kiermaier. And did the Red Sox just run themselves out of the eighth inning? The Red Sox have run themselves out of this eighth inning. We're going to go to the ninth. We're tied at five.
Ah, what a guy. Chris Ranji on The Score, filling in for Matt Spiegel today on Hit and Run. Want to thank Sean Sears for producing the show today. I did want to do this because, look, I haven't had a chance to talk to you, Chicago, in a while, and it's been a couple of weeks. In fact, it is 2 weeks ago today that we lost Dave Wills, who had been for, what, geez, going back to 2005, the radio play-by-play voice, one of the voices of the Tampa Bay Rays. He left the job with the White Sox, the one that I ended up doing a couple of years later, and went to Tampa. It had a great career as a broadcaster there, and we lost him suddenly over the weekend 2 weeks ago. And I just, look, I'm glad I get the opportunity to talk to you today. I know it's been a couple of weeks, but to lose somebody at the age of 58 who was so good at his job and just a really good dude. And I know people do this all the time where when somebody passes away, they say, "He's such a great guy and everybody loved him and everybody loved being around him." But Dave Wills was so good and such a good dude on top of just being good at his job. And I'll say this, I remember when I was in college, and for anybody that's ever listened to me here, maybe you don't know who I am, and that's fine. My name's Chris. Hey, how's it going? I grew up in St. Louis, Southern Illinois, right across the river from St. Louis. And so I grew up listening to Cardinals baseball primarily, you know, as a kid, Jack Buck and Mike Shannon and then Joe Buck for a while. But I do remember when I went away to college at Illinois State, which is pretty much halfway between Chicago and St. Louis. I mostly went to school there with kids from the Chicago area. Most people are from up north. There were very few people from the part of the state I grew up in that went to ISU. And therefore, I met a lot of Sox and Cubs fans. And there was this very special relationship that White Sox fans had with the pre- and post-game guy, Dave Wills. And they used to talk about him all the time to me. And they would say, "You got to listen to this. You got to listen to this show. You have to listen to the callers and how he deals with them." And it was, and they were right, you know. And so when I got the chance to do it, well, I guess it was a year after, or not the following year, but the year after Dave left to go to Tampa, I was really intimidated by that. I felt like I'm in this guy's shadow. Wills was so good at it, and he was so well liked, and people, clamored for him. And I know Sox fans were sad when he left for what was a promotion. I mean, to become a play-by-play guy for any Major League Baseball team is a promotion, and he got to do that, and it was deserved because he was awesome at it. And the one thing that I always really appreciated about him and appreciated about the White Sox thing is it, I don't know how to describe this other than to say it feels like a club, like a close-knit club that not a whole lot of people are in, if that makes sense. I mean, there are a lot of White Sox fans, but it's not the biggest fan base in the country. It is one, though, that it almost seems like every Sox fan knows every other Sox fan. I don't know how else to describe it but that. And so there's almost like this family feel to it where you have sponsors of the team or supporters of the team and people, you know, like down the street at Grandstand. It was a family-owned business, and Dave was part of that family, and White Sox supporters were part of that family, and Dave would always come into town and go hang out with the Powers down the street. And, you know, it just felt like this club, and it felt like kind of an exclusive club where everybody knew everybody. And Dave was a huge part of that, even after leaving the city, even after going somewhere else, going to Tampa Bay, he was still very much a part of the White Sox family. And you may remember, I wish we had the call. Couldn't find it. I know it's out there, but I wish we had the call of Mark Burley's perfect game, which was against Tampa Bay. And his play-by-play partner, Andy Freed, who gave him the opportunity, he said, and I'm paraphrasing what he said in the booth, but they get to the ninth inning, and Burley's on the verge of this no-hitter, and Freed says something to the effect of, Dave, this is your team. You have been, you know, you were part of that organization for so long. You grew up a White Sox fan. You get the call of the ninth inning. And he let Dave do that. And when I think about that, I get goosebumps, too, because it's, look, it's the main play-by-play broadcaster's job to get the final out, the final inning of something monumental like a perfect game or a no-hitter or the final out of a playoff series, World Series, whatever. It's always the main guy's job to get to do that. And I get goosebumps thinking about the fact that Andy turned to Dave and said, this is your team. You get the call of this because it's such a special moment. And that just shows you, it's just one illustration of how important Dave was to the White Sox family, even though he had left and had been gone for many years. And I loved getting the opportunity when the Rays would come into town, or there were a couple of times I got to go to Tampa where the Sox played, you know, down in Florida, and I went with the team when I was down there. I would, you know, had lunch with Dave in the stadium before the game would start, and I loved talking baseball with him. He was such a good guy, and he was always willing to, you know, offer any advice if you asked for it. But just a very jovial person, and it sucks. It sucks. And it sucks to lose somebody who should have had another 20 years in the broadcast booth. And so I feel for the people of Tampa. I feel for Dave's family and his friends in Chicago who were his family. And I will miss him, and I know a lot of people will miss him as well. But I'm glad I got a chance to talk to you about it because I obviously haven't been around. But to get the opportunity to talk about Dave here today, I think was really great. Anyway, love Dave Wills, and we'll miss him terribly. 312-644-6767 is the phone number here on Hit and Run. But I'm serious about that. I always felt like the Sox were just this, you know, there's a texter who's being all snarky saying that, oh, so the Sox are unpopular. No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that the intensity of the fan base is something that is, it's different. I'm supposed to be good with words. I'm sorry. Sometimes I'm not. But this is a team that is, that intensity is there like it isn't with other teams. And that's not to say the Cubs don't have intensity. They do. They have more mass appeal and national appeal. And you can go back to the superstation and the reasons for it and the allure of Wrigley Field. There are all kinds of different reasons why the Cubs are nationally more popular than the White Sox are. But the Sox are, that fan base is really something. In fact, I'll say this. The Chicago fan base, when it comes to baseball, when it comes to all the teams, Bears too. In fact, we had a texter during the Eric Hosmer interview who said, hey, could you ask Eric what he thinks the Bears should do with the ninth draft pick? You're always thinking about the Bears. And I love that. I love that about you. I love that you care so much. But there aren't very many cities that care in such an intense way about their baseball teams. And I love that about Chicago. I love it. And the White Sox are, it's just very unique. It is very unique. And even though there are millions of Sox fans, it just, it feels like, oh yeah, I know that guy. I know Tim from Beverly. How do you know Tim from Beverly? How? I don't know. I just do. Everybody knows everybody. There's something about the South Side of Chicago. It's just a very different and cool place. This text message says, Dave would never say Cubs or Wrigley Field. It was always the Northsiders and Shrine. That's true. That is true. Dave did have, and this is another thing.
Bungie on the score.
Good lead at second. The pitch. Swing and a looper in the right field. That's going to get through for a base hit. Kiermaier, late break. Gets to third. He's being waved home. Throw to the plate. Too late. Into second base goes the Rosarena. The Rays have come all the way back and have tied this game at five. Now the pitch. Swing and a fly ball to the gap in right center. Kiermaier coming over. He's going to make the catch. Verdugo's going to tag. Here comes the throw to third. He is out at third base. They got him. They got him. What a throw by Kiermaier. And did the Red Sox just run themselves out of the eighth inning? The Red Sox have run themselves out of this eighth inning. We're going to go to the ninth. We're tied at five.
Ah, what a guy. Chris Ranji on the score, filling in for Matt Spiegel today on Hit and Run. Want to thank Sean Sears for producing the show today. I did want to do this because, look, I haven't had a chance to talk to you, Chicago, in a while, and it's been a couple of weeks. In fact, it is 2 weeks ago today that we lost Dave Wills, who had been for, what, geez, going back to 2005, the radio play-by-play voice, one of the voices of the Tampa Bay Rays. He left the job with the White Sox, the one that I ended up doing a couple of years later, and went to Tampa. It had a great career as a broadcaster there, and we lost him suddenly over the weekend 2 weeks ago. And I just, look, I'm glad I get the opportunity to talk to you today. I know it's been a couple of weeks, but to lose somebody at the age of 58 who was so good at his job and just a really good dude. And I know people do this all the time where when somebody passes away, they say, "He's such a great guy and everybody loved him and everybody loved being around him." But Dave Wills was so good and such a good dude on top of just being good at his job. And I'll say this, I remember when I was in college, and for anybody that's ever listened to me here, maybe you don't know who I am, and that's fine. My name's Chris. Hey, how's it going? I grew up in St. Louis, Southern Illinois, right across the river from St. Louis. And so I grew up listening to Cardinals baseball primarily, you know, as a kid, Jack Buck and Mike Shannon and then Joe Buck for a while. But I do remember when I went away to college at Illinois State, which is pretty much halfway between Chicago and St. Louis. I mostly went to school there with kids from the Chicago area. Most people are from up north. There were very few people from the part of the state I grew up in that went to ISU. And therefore, I met a lot of Sox and Cubs fans. And there was this very special relationship that White Sox fans had with the pre- and post-game guy, Dave Wills. And they used to talk about him all the time to me. And they would say, "You got to listen to this. You got to listen to this show. You have to listen to the callers and how he deals with them." And it was, and they were right, you know. And so when I got the chance to do it, well, I guess it was a year after, or not the following year, but the year after Dave left to go to Tampa, I was really intimidated by that. I felt like I'm in this guy's shadow. Wills was so good at it, and he was so well-liked, and people, clamored for him. And I know Sox fans were sad when he left for what was a promotion. I mean, to become a play-by-play guy for any Major League Baseball team is a promotion, and he got to do that, and it was deserved because he was awesome at it. And the one thing that I always really appreciated about him and appreciated about the White Sox thing is it, I don't know how to describe this other than to say it feels like a like a club, like a close-knit club that not a whole lot of people are in, if that makes sense. I mean, there are a lot of White Sox fans, but it's not the biggest fan base in the country. It is one, though, that it almost seems like every Sox fan knows every other Sox fan. I don't know how else to describe it but that. And so there's almost like this family feel to it, where you have sponsors of the team or supporters of the team, and people, you know, like down the street at Grandstand. It was a family-owned business, and Dave was part of that family, and White Sox supporters were part of that family, and Dave would always come into town and go hang out with the Powers down the street. And, you know, it just felt like this club, and it felt like kind of an exclusive club where everybody knew everybody. And Dave was a huge part of that, even after leaving the city, even after going somewhere else, going to Tampa Bay. He was still very much a part of the White Sox family. And you may remember, I wish we had the call, couldn't find it. I know it's out there, but I wish we had the call of Mark Burley's perfect game, which was against Tampa Bay. And his play-by-play partner, Andy Freed, who gave him the opportunity, he said, and I'm paraphrasing what he said in the booth, but they get to the ninth inning, and Burley's on the verge of this no-hitter, and Freed says something to the effect of, Dave, this is your team. You have been, you know, you were part of that organization for so long. You grew up a White Sox fan. You get the call of the ninth inning. And he let Dave do that. And when I think about that, I get goosebumps too, because it's the main play-by-play broadcaster's job to get the final out, the final inning of something monumental like a perfect game or a no-hitter or the final out of a playoff series, World Series, whatever. It's always the main guy's job to get to do that. And I get goosebumps thinking about the fact that Andy turned to Dave and said, this is your team. You get the call of this because it's such a special moment. And that just shows you, it's just one illustration of how important Dave was to the White Sox family, even though he had left and been gone for many years. And I loved getting the opportunity when the Rays would come into town. Or there were a couple of times I got to go to Tampa where the Sox played, you know, down in Florida. And I went with the team when I was down there. I would, you know, had lunch with Dave in the stadium before the game would start. And I loved talking baseball with him. He was such a good guy, and he was always willing to, you know, offer any advice if you asked for it. But just a very jovial person, and it sucks. It sucks. And it sucks to lose somebody who should have had another 20 years in the broadcast booth. And so I feel for the people of Tampa. I feel for Dave's family and his friends in Chicago who were his family. And I will miss him, and I know a lot of people will miss him as well. But I'm glad I got a chance to talk to you about it, because I obviously haven't been around. But to get the opportunity to talk about Dave here today, I think was really great. Anyway, love Dave Wills, and we'll miss him terribly. 312-644-6767 is the phone number here on Hit and Run. But I'm serious about that. I always felt like the Sox were just this, you know, there's a texter who's being all snarky saying that, oh, so the Sox are unpopular. No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that the intensity of the fan base is something that is, it's different. I'm supposed to be good with words. I'm sorry. Sometimes I'm not. But this is a team that is, that intensity is there like it isn't with other teams. And that's not to say the Cubs don't have intensity. They do. They have more mass appeal and national appeal, and you can go back to the the superstation and the reasons for it and the allure of Wrigley Field. There are all kinds of different reasons why the Cubs are nationally more popular than the White Sox are. But the Sox are, that fan base is really something. In fact, I'll say this. The Chicago fan base, when it comes to baseball, when it comes to all the teams, Bears too. In fact, we had a texter during the Eric Hosmer interview who said, hey, could you ask Eric what he thinks the Bears should do with the ninth draft pick? You're always thinking about the Bears. And I love that. I love that about you. I love that you care so much. But there aren't very many cities that care in such an intense way about their baseball teams. And I love that about Chicago. I love it. And the White Sox are, it's just very unique. It is very unique. And even though there are millions of Sox fans, it just, it feels like, oh yeah, I know that guy. I know Tim from Beverly. How do you know Tim from Beverly? How? I don't know. I just do. Everybody knows everybody. There's something about the South Side of Chicago. It's just a very different and cool place. This text message says, Dave would never say Cubs or Wrigley Field. It was always the Northsiders and Shrine. That's true. That is true. Dave did have, and this is another thing. I used to argue against this with Sox fans, where I would say, hey, stop worrying about the Cubs. Stop crapping on the Cubs and stop crapping on Wrigley Field. Look, you have your own team. Worry about your team. Let them worry about theirs. But I get it. It's sports. It's supposed to be fun. You're supposed to be able to crap on teams you don't like. That's okay. And I should have allowed people to have that. And it's not like I took it away from them because you could do whatever the hell you want. But I always felt like there was this too many people were paying too close attention to what the Cubs... When a White Sox game ends and the Sox have won or lost or whatever, I used to get this phone call, and the phone call would be from somebody who watched the Sox game, and I'd say, hey, Mark in Palos Hills, how's it going? And Mark would say, well, the White Sox won and the Cubs lost, so it's a great day. And I used to always go, don't worry about the Cubs. Worry about your team. But you know what? Looking back on it, it's still kind of funny. I don't know, man. It's just sports. It's not that serious. If you want to hate a baseball team, hate a baseball team. It's okay if you want to do that. But I could not appreciate more the dynamic between the two teams in town. And here's what else I will tell you. As a person who is in a one baseball team city and a two professional, well, I guess three now, St. Louis has MLS, but there is nothing like the dynamic that exists with the White Sox and the Cubs and how both fan bases are insanely intense about their own teams and how they look at each other. And it's awesome. And you're very lucky as a city to have that dynamic. And you know what? That you get to pick and choose if you want to. If you want to root for both teams, go right ahead. I don't care. And nobody should ever stop you. But appreciate the dynamic that happens in the city. It's an awesome, awesome thing. I'm assuming Matt Spiegel is back next week, right?
I believe so, but we'll TBD on that.
All right, TBD. But there is Cubs baseball this afternoon. 2:55 will be the beginning of the broadcast. Cubs will take on the Padres. Want to thank our guests, Eric Hosmer, for being with us. We talked to Lamond Pope. We talked to Megan Montemurro. We talked to Kylie McDaniel. And we talked to Mike Farron. We talked to everybody in baseball today. We didn't leave anybody out. And we spoke to you. Thank you. Thank you, Sean Sears. Thank you for letting me be part of your morning on this Sunday. Now go take a nap. Have a great day. This has been Hit and Run. CBS Sports Radio's coming up next, and then Cubs baseball just before 3 o'clock right here on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.